We read God's word this morning in the prophecy of Hosea, Hosea chapter 6. The word of God at Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they like men, and the translation there should be Adam. The name Adam is also the word for man in the Hebrew Bible. But clearly the reference here is not to any man, but the first man, Adam. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. There ends our reading of the Word of God this morning. This passage bears on the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 31, questions and answers 83 and 84. The teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism with regard to the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the gospel? Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them, both in this and in the life to come. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, we are eager to hear thy word. and pray that thou wilt speak that word unto us now. Use thy servant as the instrument in thy hand to accomplish this. And despite his own weaknesses and sins, use the word that he brings for the glory of thy name and for the edification of thy people. For Christ's sake, amen. There's a great deal of concern these days to protect our country's borders. This is due, on the one hand, to terrorist threats and our own experience with terrorism as a country. This has been heightened on account of the threat of the COVID virus. Every effort is made to permit entrance into our country only to those who are lawful citizens of our country, or those who, for one reason or another, have special permission to be in our country. And at the same time, every effort is made to keep out those who are not lawful citizens, and to keep out those who do not have rightful permission to be in our country. What is true naturally is also true spiritually, is true with regard to the kingdom of heaven. The great king of this kingdom, our Lord Jesus Christ, protects the borders of his kingdom. He admits only those who are lawful citizens of his kingdom, and he keeps out of his kingdom those who are not the true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Christ the King does this through the means of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. By the keys, the kingdom is opened, the doors and gates of this kingdom opened, so that those who belong to this kingdom, according to God's electing grace and the redemption and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, may be brought into this kingdom and enjoy all of the spiritual benefits that are in the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom of heaven are keys that have been dipped in blood. At the same time, these keys also function to keep out of the kingdom those who do not belong in the kingdom, whether from the ungodly, wicked world from without, or our own seed, those who are born within the kingdom, but who are not true citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This is the subject of Lord's Day 31. The subject is the keys of the kingdom. The Catechism, along with Scripture, identifies two keys of the kingdom of heaven. Those two keys are the preaching of the Holy Gospel and the exercise of Christian discipline. By the use of those two keys used together, the kingdom of heaven is opened and the kingdom of heaven is shut. Two keys, but two keys that are on the same keychain. Preaching, discipline. These two keys can be distinguished, as the Catechism does, as Scripture does, and as we will do, but at the same time, they can never be separated. For the preaching of the gospel is Christian discipline and is the first aspect of Christian discipline and is the discipline, every one of us, of ourselves. And at the same time, the exercise of Christian discipline is only the application to the lives of the people of God of the preaching of the word. The two keys of the kingdom belong together. This morning, we'll treat the first of those two keys, the key of preaching. I call that to your attention this morning, preaching as a key of the kingdom. Let's notice, first of all, what preaching is, according to its description in this Lord's Day, how preaching functions as a key of the kingdom, and then finally, what results it works. The expression, keys of the kingdom, is a figurative expression. It is an expression that's found in Scripture. It's found, for example, in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 19, where Jesus says to the apostles, not just to Peter, as is Rome's false interpretation of the passage, but to the disciples as a group, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed from heaven. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, reference is made to the keys. In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, and when I saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his glory, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The keys. Here, those keys are further identified as the keys of hell and of death. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, in connection with the word to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, we read, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the key in the singular. So closely related are the keys that then they can be identified as one key. Here, besides referring to the key or the keys as the key of David, the Lord adds that he is the one who makes use of the key, who turns the key. I am he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. That expression, that biblical expression then, is a figurative expression. Children, there are not two keys hanging in the consistory room that the elders take off a nail or some other holder and turn periodically, admitting and forbidding admittance to some. No literal keys. It's a figurative expression. It's a fitting figurative expression. For just as a key, your house key, is the key that you use to turn open the lock on your house after church this morning in order to get back into your house, it was that same key that closed the lock when you left so that no one could illegally enter into your house. The figurative expression in the Bible, the keys of the kingdom, refers to the power by which Jesus Christ opens up his kingdom to those whom God has ordained to be the citizens of this kingdom and for whom he has died so that they may be admitted into this kingdom, none of them by birth citizens of this kingdom, but of another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness and death, the kingdom of sin and Satan, and at the same time, the power by which he shuts the door into his kingdom against those who may not and who are not citizens of that kingdom. The first of those keys is the preaching of the gospel. This Lord's Day teaches some fundamental truths with regard to the preaching of the gospel that Christ uses to shut his kingdom and to open his kingdom. He does that in question and answer 84. First of all, comes out in that question and answer what the preaching of the gospel is. I'm going to identify six things about the preaching of the gospel that come out in this Lord's Day. Number one is that we learn what preaching is. The preaching of the gospel is the proclamation of the promise of God. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel, that is the Catechism's own description of the preaching. The preaching of the gospel is the proclamation of the promise of the gospel. That promise is God's promise. That promise is God's in and for the sake of his own Son, Jesus Christ. What is that promise? That promise is the promise of the forgiveness of your sins. The promise of the forgiveness of your sins. The basis of that promise being the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's question and answer 84. The promise of the gospel that all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. The key that opens up the kingdom is the key of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing less. So valuable is this key. Irreplaceable is this key. There's no human locksmith that can reproduce this key. It is entirely unique. The opening of the kingdom is simply the forgiveness of your sins. Those whose sins are forgiven have the right to be citizens of this kingdom. Those whose sins are not forgiven, those who live impenitently in their sins, who refuse to turn from their sins in sorrow over their sins, are shut out of the kingdom of heaven. That happens through the preaching of the gospel now. The assurance that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ is the assurance that comes in one way and one way only. By one means and by no other means. And that means is the preaching of the gospel. There is no other means by which you receive the forgiveness of your sins. That implies that only preaching that addresses itself to sin is preaching that opens up the kingdom of heaven. Preaching that never mentions sin or speaks only of sin as a malady, as an unfortunate error, but does not press home to the hearers that sin is guilt before God, disobedience to God, the breaking of God's law. Don't forget that this Lord's Day is leading up to the Catechism's explanation of the Ten Commandments. Guilty because you've transgressed every one of those commandments. The preaching must be that kind of preaching that calls sin, sin, and calls sinners to repentance. Second, the preaching that opens up, I should have said that, that's plain from Hosea 6, all the warnings and admonitions to sinners in Judah, even those who have returned from the captivity. The chapter opens up, in fact, with that. Verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. 6 and 7, more of their sin by their despising of God's covenant, and like Adam, treacherously transgressing God's covenant. Verses 8 and 9, they lie like troops of robbers, ready to pounce on their next victim. He speaks of the horrible things that he's seen in the house of Israel, in the whoredoms of Ephraim, the main tribe in Israel. Sin. But secondly, the preaching of the gospel that opens up the kingdom of heaven is preaching that proclaims Jesus Christ and the way in which the cross of Christ and its benefits are enjoyed. Faith, and faith alone. That is the thing. The only way into the kingdom is the way of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ crucified. Faith that believes on Him. Faith that embraces Him and all His benefits. Faith that trusts not in self or in the merits of any other, but only the merits of Jesus Christ. That's emphasized, too, in the 84th question and answer. For the promise of God is the promise to all and every believer. And the Catechism speaks of those who by a true faith, receive the promise of the gospel. Faith. Preaching that is the key into the kingdom of heaven. Call sinners to faith in Jesus Christ. Third, the preaching that is the key that opens up the kingdom of heaven is preaching that emphasizes grace. Grace and grace alone. Not the preaching that emphasizes the worth and the work of man, but the preaching that underscores the work of Jesus Christ. The grace of God in sending Jesus Christ to unworthy sinners like you and like me. From beginning to end, the message of the preaching that is a key into the kingdom is grace and grace alone. Fourth, the preaching that God uses as the key into the kingdom is the preaching of holiness, of holy living on the part of the citizens of the kingdom for their place in this kingdom. That too is emphasized. It's emphasized in the 84th question already. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching, not just of the gospel, but of the holy gospel. And among other things, for there are some other reasons too, why the gospel is called the holy gospel is because the preaching of the gospel calls men to holiness of life. And that's also the answer, which speaks of such as do not sincerely repent. Do not sincerely repent of their unholiness, of their sins. And so long as they are unconverted, they are outside of the kingdom. Unconverted means have not turned from their sins. The preaching of the gospel that functions as a key into the kingdom of heaven is preaching that calls the citizens to thankful, holy, obedient living. That will be reinforced, we will see, next time, by that second key, the key of the exercise of Christian discipline. So important is holiness of life for the citizens of the kingdom. Fifth, the preaching that functions as a key into the kingdom is preaching that is the public proclamation of the gospel. The public proclamation of the gospel. The 84th answer speaks of that. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified, that's fundamental to the preaching of the gospel. The key of the preaching that opens up the kingdom of heaven to us is the public proclamation of the gospel. What's going on at this very moment? It isn't you sitting at home in your living room reading the Bible. It isn't you at home. I mean not now making a proper use of live streaming a worship service because of age or infirmity, a legitimate reason for not assembling with the people of God, but those who do that, though they are perfectly able to gather themselves with the people of God for public and corporate worship. The preaching that God uses is not the preaching on sermon audio. It's not live streaming some favorite minister or other. What God uses as the key into the kingdom, the key that keeps you in the kingdom all your life long, is the key of the public proclamation of the gospel. Any who disdains, who sinfully disdains the public proclamation of the gospel, sins against Christ and cannot possibly gain entrance, be in the kingdom of heaven. And last, the preaching that God uses as the key into the kingdom of heaven is the key that contains the promise of everlasting life and that warns against everlasting condemnation. The Lord's Day speaks of that. That's an important part of the preaching of the gospel. The gospel proclaims the good news of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. But right along with that good news, the sharp and the clear warning to all who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who refuse to repent of their sins, who go on in their sins without turning to God and to Christ, must be warned of the everlasting condemnation that awaits them unless they repent. This now is the main task of the church. This is the calling that every local congregation has. This is the one thing that Hudsonville Protestant Reformed Church must be known for, its preaching of the gospel. Certainly the administration of the sacraments is of importance. Certainly the exercise of Christian discipline. But this is first. It's mentioned first for a good reason. For the sacraments depend upon the preaching, both for understanding the sacraments and for the power of the sacraments. And behind the exercise of Christian discipline is the word. Discipline is only the application of the word. And then all of the other legitimate means of grace in the lives of God's people: prayer, the reading of the Bible, fellowship with the saints, reading good literature. All of those have their place, but only in relationship to and arising out of the preaching of the gospel. As this is the main calling of the church, this is the main calling of the minister. Whoever becomes your next minister, consistory, see to that. Congregation, see to that. Give him the time that he needs to make two good sermons a week, and then make his preaching of good sermons the priority to his work as your pastor. Insist upon it that the sermons that he preaches are good sermons, faithful to God's word and faithful in opening up and applying God's word. Because this is the first key into the kingdom of heaven. How does preaching function in this way? What explains the power of preaching? The word spoken by a man, the word heard as a man speaks that word. How does that function to be the key to open up the kingdom of heaven to lost sinners? The explanation is easy. Because in the preaching of the gospel, Christ is heard. It isn't just the voice of a man. It is the voice of Christ himself. The explanation for this function of the preaching is nothing less than the one who holds in his hand the key of David, the key of death and of hell, which implies also of heaven and life everlasting. No man has such awesome power. No vicar of Christ, as the Pope claims himself to be. Only Christ has this power. Christ alone. But the means by which Christ is pleased to open the door of the kingdom and to shut that door against others is the preaching of the word. It is still Christ and Christ alone who opens the door of the kingdom, but it is his will to use for that. This means the means of the preaching of the gospel. Christ himself makes that very plain. The scriptures make that very plain. This is the sin of those who despise the means of grace. The sin of those who are irregular in their church attendance. They're despising the very word of Christ. The preaching of the gospel isn't the word merely of a man, a good man, a holy man, any kind of man. It is the word of God and of Christ. The prophet Hosea makes that plain in Hosea 6, verse 5. When speaking as the very mouthpiece of Christ, Christ speaks in verse 5, who says, "Therefore have I hewed them, cut them to pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth." The idea of the text is that the word of the prophets was the very word from Christ's mouth. And such a power that Christ himself, the emphasis here is on the negative aspect and purpose of the preaching of the gospel. It implies the positive. The negative is on the foreground exactly because of the sins of Judah and of Israel, the very sins that led to their captivity. I have hewed them by the prophets. It wasn't so long ago when we looked at a number of the New Testament scripture passages that emphasize that the preaching of the word is the word of Christ himself. Like Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. But you, Ephesians, have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, Christ, and have been taught by him, Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. When did they learn Christ? When were they taught by Christ? Heard Christ speak? And the answer, these are Ephesians. They didn't live at all in the vicinity of Palestine. They had never heard Christ personally during his life in ministry, but they heard Christ. When Paul the Apostle preached Christ unto them, and there are a number of other New Testament scriptures that emphasize the very same truth. That puts neglect of the preaching of the gospel and the means of grace in the utterly serious light that they are despising Christ himself. Not just the preaching, not just the worship services, but Christ. Contempt for Christ. Disdain for Christ. And I assure you that Christ does not take lightly those who disdain him. All of this implies the authority of the preaching of the gospel. Preaching has authority. Faithful preaching, that's understood. Preaching that is true to sacred scripture, the authority of preaching is that behind the word preached, standing behind the preacher, the one speaking to his people is Christ himself. The preacher must understand that and take his calling utterly seriously, therefore. God's people must understand that and take their calling to hear the word utterly seriously. The key of preaching is the great key that Christ uses to open up the kingdom. And that is the great good result. That's happening this morning. There's no power like the power of the preaching of the gospel. We're infatuated with power. Men have always been infatuated with power, military power, scientific power, political power, the power in creation of a flood, of a hurricane, a tsunami, a volcano. But there's no power like this power, the power of the preaching of the gospel. For first, the preaching of the gospel bars those who must be kept out of the kingdom of heaven. That's an important aspect of the preaching. To the grief of a preacher, when he sees that result working itself out in some member or in some family, to the grief of the elders who must work with these folk, and to the grief of their fellow church members. But this is God's own purpose with the preaching of the gospel. It didn't just happen, Hosea 6, verse 5, but God sent his word in order to hew some to pieces, in order to slay some by that word. The preaching must make this explicit. The preaching must show itself actively to be the means that keeps unbelievers out of the kingdom, declares to them that they have no part in the kingdom so long as they go on impenitent in their sins. When the gospel is preached, there must be the sharp warnings, the exhortations. There must be the call to repentance over sin. Certainly from the pulpit, but also in the catechism room, on family visitation, on the visit to those who are wayward by the committees of the elders. And then some will respond, whatever. He's preaching against that sin, whatever. Let him talk. Let him say his piece. We'll be out pretty soon. And then he'll be finished. Nope. They're wrong. They're dead wrong. Because what they hear now, under the preaching of the gospel, they're going to hear in the judgment day from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Your sins will be bound upon you. The guilt of those sins will be bound upon you. Your sins will be retained to you. And everlastingly, you will be banished from the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the call to you who are walking impenitently in sin, maybe unknown even to your spouse, to your fellow church members, your family, but to your God, is the call: repent. This kind of preaching is necessary so that those who are walking in sin do repent. That's the thing. That's what the preaching, that's what the elders emphasize in their visits. As long as they remain unconverted. As long as, for you see, the way into the kingdom is the way of repentance and trust in Jesus Christ. The preaching is also effective positively to open up the kingdom, to loose from sin and the guilt of sin. When the gospel is preached, there are poor, wretched souls who hardly dare to believe the message of the gospel. Can it really be so? Can it be so for me? The sins that I've committed, of which I'm guilty? And then the message of the gospel is, those who repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ, to them the kingdom is open. Whatsoever is loosed now on earth will be loosed in the kingdom of heaven. They who are admitted now will be eternally admitted in the day of Christ. What you hear now through the preaching of the gospel, you will hear from Christ's own mouth on the judgment day. Loosed, forgiven, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the preaching of the gospel to us and to our children, the means which thou art pleased to use to open up to us the kingdom of heaven. We thank thee that we who deserve no place in that kingdom are granted an entrance into that kingdom now and eternally. Receive our praise and thanks, and may we live lives that are the evidence of our gratitude unto thee. Amen.